Yeah, it's about that time, you already know. Turn the speakers up, man, it's time to start the show. John Tanner, Ryan Righteous, DJ Jeremiah. We bringing the heat, man, this joint be fire. Like, bruh, we in the field, we in the field. Bruh, we in the field, we in the field. Just put it in work, we raising the bar. You tuned in to the track stops.
Yeah, back in the field with the Track Stars, Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, DJ Jeremiah. Make sure you go to trackstars.com and just check out all the things that we got going on. Go to patreon.com / Track Stars Universe. We got a lot of cool things going up. We're going to be doing a line for line after the show, so stay tuned for that. And we got some more bonus topics for you to discuss with us as well. Ryan is out today. We're gonna hold it down without him.
How y'all
doing today? Got Plain, we got Shanae in the building. How y'all doing?
What's good? Glad to be here.
Good. Amen.
All right, so we attempted to do a bonus episode, well, a line for line before the show, and like literally everything was not working. Like, literally everything. So I think I got it good now. So thank you guys for hanging out with us. For everybody who jumped on Patreon earlier, just stay tuned afterwards. We'll try it again.
Yeah, man.
All right, so I think we're ready, guys. I think we're ready. So Kev on stage was on the Breakfast Club, you know, talking about his life. I think it's his first time, right?
Yeah, good luck for him.
So let's see what he had to say about being a Christian. All right. What do y'all think about what Kev on stage said about Christians living a double life? Mm. He said he grew up, he thought everybody that said they weren't drinking, weren't cursing, weren't whatever, was really living that way. But then he found out, even from people like his pastor, his aunts or whatever, that that's your public facing Christian life, but then your private facing Christian life is totally different. What do y'all think?
You're in the hot seat.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think that clip, there's a lot to unpack there. He's saying a lot of things. But the first thing that came to me while listening to him is that we don't model our lives after man. We're living our life unto God and unto Christ. Lord, what do you want me to do? So the goal, like he said, his goal was to be saved, more saved than everybody else. Well, baby, that's the wrong goal. You're supposed to be living your life to please the Lord and please the Father. And from like the church background that I'm from, like, first of all, drinking itself is an open hand sin. I don't think anyone's going to go to hell if they're drinking or not. So it's like, okay, whatever. But I do understand why some people would choose to, like, they're not going to talk bad about it. But at the same time, it's like, I don't want to encourage, like, people, because most of the time people don't drink responsibly. So that's normally the connotation when it comes to that. So they're like, okay, well, I do drink, but at the same time, I'm not going to like showboat that. I'm going to be more wise, if that makes more sense, because I don't want people to feel like, you know, I'm not drinking responsibly and this and that. It's like, sometimes it's okay for your public life to be separate from your private life, but you should still be serving the same God and be the same person in both spaces.
What's an open hand, sir?
Open hand is that, like, you have certain things that, you know, like, you will go to hell. Like, if, like with the list of abominations, like, God doesn't like messy people. God doesn't want you to make somebody else sin. You can't blaspheme God. That's closed hand. I know if I'm doing that, God does not like that. That's a sin that can make me go to hell. Open hand is there's evidence to support both. So there's scriptures that will support if you want to drink, you can, because like they said, drinking is for those who are like in mourning. They would literally give wine to people who are grieving and stuff like that. And then you have like John the Baptist who didn't drink at all. So it's like it's evidence supporting both of them. So you just really search that out with your own fear and trembling.
I've never heard that terminology before.
Oh, yeah.
You mean just gray area stuff? Gray area?
Technically,
okay.
Yeah.
I agree to a certain aspect of what he's saying. As far as Christians living double life, because I know a great deal of Christians who drink and, you know what I'm saying, do certain things they probably wouldn't do in front of people. Me, myself, I used to drink. My reason for stopping drinking, I feel like Jesus turned water to wine. I feel like if it was a sin to drink, why would he turn water into something that would make you sin? Now, what you do after you drink, that's the issue. Like she said, like, most people don't drink responsibly. So I know for me, if I have a certain amount of drink in my system, my thoughts are not going to be Christ-like. You feel me? So I knew I had to, you know what I'm saying? I knew I had to dial it back, you know what I'm saying? But, like, some people can drink and have a glass of wine while they're having a dinner or something. Like, nothing wrong with that. But as far as living a double life, I agree. It's a lot of people who are doing that. And because they feel like he said, people can't handle it. They feel like it's going to be a stumbling block or they're going to be judged or scrutinized. Right. Some folks feel like, man, it's going to mess up my money. If my congregation, especially in the Bible Belt, because I've been to different regions of the country with Christians, and it's different. Like, I did an event in Maryland where after the service, the pastor asked us to come eat, drink beer, eat crabs. You know what I'm saying? I've been to the West Coast where it's a little more liberal in some places. Down south, it's like, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. So you have a lot of people who come to church acting a certain kind of way. Yeah. But then when they leave church, like, well, y'all, I'm from the country, so we have something called a liquor house. I said it on here before. Guess who be at the liquor house? You're going to see Deacon so-and-so did this and that. And then they'll come the next Sunday, they do the prayer. Lord, taste the liquor off my lips, Lord. You know I got a da-da-da-da. You know what I'm saying? Like, because people feel like they can't be real. You know what I'm saying? Now, I look at it also like, if I'm a stumbling block to somebody, like if somebody dealing with alcoholism, I'm definitely not going to take a drink around them. The Bible says that clearly. But I feel like people feel like they can't really be themselves without scrutiny or judgment. Now, like Shania was saying, what am I doing unto the Lord? Like the Lord's calling you to a certain position or a certain thing, like all things are lawful, now all things may not be beneficial for you to do certain things. Mm-hmm. Just keep it real with yourself. You know what God's calling you to do. So I don't think drinking itself is a sin. It's what you do after that. And I do agree Christians do live a double life. Far as him saying, I'm not a Christian comedian, I'm going to do comedy as well as be a Christian.
Ain't that the same as a Christian, a rapper that's Christian?
Yeah. My wrestling match with that is the Bible says everything we do unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if any time I have to separate what I'm doing for the Lord from something else, it's like, okay, I'm going to give the Lord this, but over here I'm just going to be me.
Yeah.
I think that's when it's a problem. You know, so I should be doing everything unto the Lord all the way around. Yeah. I think the mistake that people make with music and with comedy, they feel like, just because I'm doing it to the Lord means I have to lack creativity. Like, you might not have to verbatim quote scripture everything, but still be doing it unto the Lord. You may give jokes or make music that points to the word and points to the thoughts and the things the word says, where it's still Bible-based.
Right.
You don't necessarily have to say, this is my Christian comedy, this is my regular comedy. You can still do this to the Lord. You can be creative and do it more than just saying, well, Matthew 5 and 10 says.
Right.
I think that's the problem.
I do think he does that. I think he does mix in, like, if the majority, I mean, recently he did a tour where he was doing churches, so he would do a mixture of, like, church stuff, and then he'd do black culture stuff, you know what I'm saying? So that's the mixture of kind of, like, what he would do. It's not cursing, he doesn't curse, but it's more like Sinbad and then go into Michael Jr., if y'all know those comedians I'm talking about. So, but I think one of the things, I guess the question is, what is a Christian that lives a double life versus somebody who is struggling?
I think,
because going back to what you said, like, you know, the pastor drinking and then saying, God help me with that, is that a double life? Because to me, a double life, wouldn't that be like more just somebody who's a hypocrite, who's like,
yeah,
I live this way, but then
double life is that pastor who knows he has a real strict congregation. He come up and say, we don't drink in this church, we don't do this and that, but then when he leave church, he popping the Budweiser. You see what I'm saying?
Right. But is that a double life for him to say, we don't do that, versus, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Because to me, when I think of a double life, I'm thinking of somebody like a pastor who is preaching on, you know, adultery. Like, we don't do adultery, da da da. But he like, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's double life.
It's a double life. I think the problem is,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I feel like that's a double life is.
Yeah.
Versus somebody saying, like, I guess what you're saying is, if somebody say it, like, hey, we don't do such and such, but you do it, then that's you being a hypocrite.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If you're saying, okay, you don't do this and we're against this, but then you're doing it, it's a double life. I feel like that's the problem. I feel like we just need to be more transparent with church and just say what the Bible says. Just like, hey,
exactly,
you're not going to go to hell for having a drink. However, how do you behave once you have that drink? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, just be real with people. Like, I think that's the problem. We're putting this mask on as if we don't deal with anything or we don't do anything or struggle with anything. So now we're giving a false representation to the people so that when we do finally fall or go through something, people are like, aha, you do something,
mm-hmm,
because you weren't keeping the real from the jump.
Yeah.
And another thing people say, like, well, I know it's coming. That, well, why he got to say he a Christian comedian, this and that? I'm not a Christian librarian. I'm not a Christian store clerk. That's the difference. The difference is with the music and with comedy and stuff like that. People put entertainment. People put Christian in front of their name if they want to be honest. Some people do it because they want to give glory to the Lord, and only God know the heart of man. Some folks do it because they know it's a market there that if they put Christian in front of their name, they're going to attract Christian people.
Yeah.
So that's why some people do it. Like, it's not going to come up to say, "Hey, I'm a Christian librarian. I'm a Christian bank teller." Like. Yeah. Like, that don't really make sense to you. That's not even a solid argument. Yeah. But when you got people who coming out saying, at first, I'm a Christian rapper, then all of a sudden they say, well, I don't want to be put in the box. You know what I'm saying? Or they, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you built your whole fan base off a certain demographic of people, and now you want to detach yourself from that. That's what the difference is. That's a different situation. And once again, you know what I mean? You can't be creative because you're saying that you're a Christian. I don't feel like, I put it like this. If I put Christian on me and I feel like I got to take Christian off because it put me in the box, where is it that I'm trying to go that I can't take the name of Jesus with me? That's how I look at it. Mm-hmm. Where am I trying to go where if I say I'm a Christian and I put that in the forefront, where am I trying to go? If it's not meant for me to go, I'm just not going to go. But if I got to take my name, the name Christian off in order to get more opportunities, is that opportunity really for me?
Normally, normally it's more like your representation telling you to do that. Like, it's normally like, I'm sure when you get signed to a deal, if you were so gung-ho, and I don't want to use Lecrae, but he's probably an example of that. I'm sure when he got signed to Columbian, somebody was like, hey, man, if you want to take this gospel further, you may want to just dial back on the Jesus thing. And you're thinking, like, he may have been thinking, I'm not saying this happened, I'm just assuming. He may have thinking, like, yo, I want to reach more people. So is this the good opportunity to do this? Or, you know what I'm saying? And not just using him, but I'm talking about any Christian in entertainment that's not like a Kirk Franklin type of person where it's like, you know what Kirk Franklin is. You know he's a gospel artist. You know that. You can't hide that. You can't be like, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what your music is versus somebody who can rap about Jesus in one song and in another song talk about gang violence or talk about, you know, their wife or, you know what I'm saying?
You can do all that. So let me ask you a question. All right, say one song you want to talk about Jesus, right? The next song you want to talk about your wife. Are you finna talk about your wife from just a ratchet worldly perspective, or are you gonna talk about your wife from the perspective of a godly husband?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think for some people, especially in our market, James, is they know that it's Jesus or nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, in our market, it's certain people that's like, they don't like Okay, I use Lecrae as an example. Some people don't like Lecrae because they feel like he strayed away from God and he ain't rapping like he did on Rebel or After the Music Stopped, but he's still talking about Jesus. He's still like, it's not deep theology like people want him to do like he
did in
the past.
I think if he can do it all over again, he never would have made that statement. Mm-hmm. I think he never, because regardless of what he said he was, everybody knew he was a Christian rapper.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the same thing. It's like with Kirk Franklin, like he can't come out, it's like they're going to go to your catalog, they're going to hear you rapping and talking about Jesus the whole time. Like, Kirk Franklin, he's for the black church especially, he's like the poster child when you think about Christian music.
Yeah.
He out here doing a song with Glorilla and this and that. Like, has it hindered him from going?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I think it's a people who feel.
But he's not hip-hop, though.
He's doing a song with artists.
No, but what I'm saying is I think the difference is people know from the jump how to market a gospel artist. You get what I'm saying? Y'all, versus that.
Y'all leaking a little bit into the next one. I want to get to that one if we have time. But I think the core issue here with Kev is what concerns me is that he had a pure vision of what Christianity was when he was a kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was broken for him when he realized that, oh, the things we say, we don't really mean. That's an issue.
Yeah.
And I think it's all over there's confusion around what Paul meant when he said the whole thing about eating meat sacrificed to idols, right?
Yeah.
The point he was making was, the meat that is sacrificed to an idol, it doesn't really matter because that idol is not a god.
Yeah.
We know it's not a real. Yeah. There's only one god.
Yeah.
So we know that that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But when I'm around other people, I wouldn't eat that because they don't know that. So I don't want them to think I'm doing something that is evil, even though I know it's not.
Right.
And I think a lot of Christians get tripped up by that. And I think what he was seeing was people try to live that philosophy of, I know drinking is not wrong, but because other people have a problem with drinking, I will not drink in public.
Yeah.
And that confusion
and that's the
between
issue.
The two.
Yeah.
I think that's what he saw. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Christians have fully figured out how to live that without just sounding like You lying.
Just preach the text. Just be like, look, like, drinking is not a sin. But if you got a brother or sister who's struggling with alcoholism, don't drink around them.
Yeah.
And also, what are you doing after you drink? What's your purpose for wanting to drink? And what's your behavior after you? Just be real with people. I think that's more beneficial than acting like you don't do something. And then when they see you at the bar drinking, they're like, well,
it's harder than that. It's harder than that. Because it's not just don't drink around the alcoholic. It's don't drink around the person that thinks drinking is a sin.
Mm. Yeah, that too. Yeah,
that's harder because now I'm like, I don't know who is that.
Yeah.
Now I gotta. That's what created the hypocrisy thing is because I have no idea who thinks that. So now in general, I'm just gonna not drink because I don't want to make anybody.
So this is what I did.
You know what I'm saying?
So I, from firsthand experience, when I used to drink, I go somewhere and I'd be like, hey, does drinking offend you? I ask, like, if drinking offends you, I won't have one.
That question already puts them on the. So you drink? They already in your head like, wait a minute. You
can drink. Let's have that conversation.
Because here's what I think they're really trying. Well, the Bible is really trying to warn you about. If the person you're talking to feels like it's a sin, and now they look up to you and they see you drink or even thinking about drinking, them drinking after that is a sin.
So it's
because they think it is.
So it's two ways. Sometimes you'll be around people, you feel the vibe, you'll be like, okay, I don't really know where they at, so I'm going to ask them. Some people, if they're the kind of people who feel like drinking is a sin, usually they're going to be, you're going to be able to tell by their nature, like, not to say they're legalistic, but they're going to be a little bit more stern with their stance and their beliefs. So I don't even got to ask that most of the time.
Right.
But if it's somebody where we cool and it's like, they don't know, I'm like, man, do you mind if I have a, that's how I used to be anyway. Do you mind if I have a beer or something like that? They'd be like, nah, you good. Or they'd be like, nah, well, I'd be like, hey, there's no problem.
But you can see how the road leads to somebody like me. I don't drink, right? So it leads you to
telling the truth.
It leads you to I'm just not going to drink at all, just because it's not it's not even worth the chance of me making somebody stumble because it's such a confusing topic.
Yeah.
So it's easier to just be like, not going to drink. Yeah. But if I happen to drink, I'm not going to feel any kind of way about it because I know what the deal is.
Right.
But the public face, it's not just public facing, it's period. It's just, okay, I'm just not going to do this.
Yeah.
But God has dealt with me to be like, okay, that stance, you setting that line of I'm not drinking and now holding everybody to that standard of I'm not drinking is not biblical.
Yeah. That's the flip side of it. So it's like either way it goes, you're not telling the truth.
But that's why it's so confusing. That's why I think he's seeing this hypocrisy, but it's like, it's just, we don't get how to do that.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, did Jesus turn water to wine or Capri Sun? You know what I'm saying?
Like you
know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like, for me, I know you gotta know your limits. I'm not finna be in front of people just all over the place, you know what I'm saying? But I'd be like, do you mind if I have a drink? If not, and it's like, if they know the Bible, they know. Even those people who draw in their hard line, if they know what scripture says, they know. But they're not gonna be offended.
I think to me the hard part about all this is because there are Christians who do drink that love the Lord. Like genuinely love God. Like,
I know some.
Like I know people too. Like and they can pray you through stuff if you need something from them.
Right.
They are the biblical Acts church. But at the same time, they don't get drunk. They just have a drink or a beer or whatever. So that's what I'm saying. Like that's why I was like that. The question about today of is that a sin or not is going back to the people.
But yes. When you're amongst people that you know get it and you're cool with, but what do you do when you're at the Kirk Franklin concert in front of a bunch of people? People know you're a celebrity. People know your name.
Now, when you're in a setting like that, I think it's just wise not to drink. I feel what he's saying. I feel like in a setting like that because you don't know who it offends.
Yeah.
So then you just don't drink at all.
But for him, he's like, I'm going to keep it real. I'm not hiding this. That's what he just said. He was
Paul said.
But then you're going against scripture when you do that. See what I'm saying?
No, but I think for him is he would go against scripture if he's feeling like he's lying.
Yeah, yeah.
But
both.
The thing is, you're not lying.
But he's not really lying. You don't have to have a drink.
Oh, you
like
don't.
Exactly.
You don't have to. But at the same time, it's like he may feel like, and this don't sound blasphemous, he may feel like I have freedom in Christ to drink.
Yeah,
you do.
But then you also have this. That's why
But I think for him, he's probably feeling like, I don't want to feel like.
Why do I have to worry about this?
Yeah.
But
see, that's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, I'm not saying that you can't drink, but if it's going to be a stumbling block to your brother. So in that arena full of thousands of people, you don't know everybody personally. Somebody may see you drink, and it may be a stumbling block to them to feel like, okay, Kev drinking, I'm going to go have me a beer. You know
I think his problem was he put it on social media. It wasn't like either him way, just walking the wall. No, right. But what I'm saying is,
yeah, you're right.
You get what
yeah,
I mean? Yeah. Like he yeah. was.
On if somebody caught him drinking, yeah. that's different. It's right. like, hey, bro, why you do that?
Yeah.
That's,
that ain't but it looked like you bragging you, about it. Like, I got my beer. Yo, Kirk, what's up? Like,
right. Yeah. I think the setting plays a big part of that, too, because this ain't, he brought up Bruno Mars. This is not a Bruno Mars concert. This is a Christian concert with Yolanda Adams singing. So you about to drink cognac while you worshiping? So it's like, too, you also got to bring it in context, too, bro. Like, you, like the point of this concert is for us to be worshiping God.
I've been at Bible studies where they have a cooler of beer. Mm-hmm. I mean, like.
Like a personal Bible study at the house?
Like a official, like it was on campus. Like it was official
I had
Bible study.
Yeah,
like where people were invited.
And
like,
people had beer and
beer
Bibles.
I've been there.
Beer and Bibles.
I'm not going to say that I'm against that. I just feel like.
It's confusing.
Exactly. It's so are we having a drink at the restaurant? Oh, yeah, are we having a drink with our steak, a glass of wine with our steak at home? Like, or are we in a Christian setting where it's supposed to be focused on God and we're drinking while we're doing it?
But that's why I think people like him come to the. I'm tired of worrying about this.
Yeah.
This is frustrating. You see what I'm saying?
But that's the question.
What do you say to him?
What he did was in the scene. I just think it's not wise.
Yeah.
Because I think just self-control is like you didn't have to have, you got the freedom to have that drink. It's not a sin for you to have that drink, but you don't have to have that. So now you bring an unnecessary attention to yourself that otherwise you could have said, I'm going to have a drink when I get home.
Do you care about the souls of the people that you have a lot of influence.
Mm-hmm.
Do you care about the souls of those people more than your personal freedom? You can do it.
Yeah.
But is it beneficial? That's
But I think also he's like, he's coming from a background like, I don't want to be fake anymore. I don't want to look like I'm at home popping bottles, but in reality in church I'm like around church people I'm like super Christian. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think for him
But don't
he's
do
like,
that. I think the point is don't do that either.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't
that's,
do that.
That
yeah.
still sounds like a personal problem.
But that's what he's saying. Like, I'm
but,
not.
But even
for
even,
context,
here's
man.
The hard
it's
part.
Context.
Here's the hard part. Even for the ones that don't drink.
Yeah.
Don't brag about that. That's not virtuous.
Or don't put your.
Right.
Or
you're
don't
not
put
so
this,
holy because you don't drink alcohol. Yeah,
or another thing, context, too, is man. Don't put that, what God put on you, on other people.
Right.
I learned that years ago, too.
Here's why I don't, though. Because I'm in a lot of settings at work. I'm around people and all that. It is a great opportunity. I found it. It's a great opportunity to introduce Christ into a conversation because people will ask. They'll be like, why aren't you drinking? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, it's not like a, because they'll be like, oh, are you religious? And it's like, no, it's not a religious rule or anything like that. It's just that I found whatever. And I could get into why I chose this or that and make it extremely clear that I see you drinking. I'm not saying you're sinning.
Yeah.
You might be soon because you're getting a little heavy, but you're saying like, that's not the point. The point is to say, okay, you noticed something about my life. Let me use it as an opportunity to talk to you about God. That's the only benefit I've seen that it really is useful in those situations. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just know I stopped. I just knew I got to a point in my life where it wasn't fruitful for my mindset. You know what I'm saying? So I just knew.
I think the context of that section, which what I love is like what you brought up. It's like my personal freedom. I do have freedom in Christ and I have this freedom. But as a Christian, we're supposed to follow the model of Jesus, which is sacrificial love. So if it comes to a point where I have to choose between my personal freedom and sacrificing for the sake of offense of a brother or sister, I'm supposed to choose sacrifice.
Yeah. Esteem your brother higher than yourself.
So exactly.
I want to try to get to the next one because I think a lot of people are talking about this part of it too. This is what he said. Charlamagne asked him a question about, does your faith stifle your creativity or your gift?
I just thought about this for whatever reason.
All right. So this is, I would say that this conversation is why our show exists. We literally started the show to help people in his situation navigate. How do I do this? How do I do that? And I think some people, when they get to that point where they have influence or they're about to have influence or about to sign a deal or about to do this, they could either get lost in it. We've seen people go get lost and they just absorb the world and they totally change who they are. And then there's some people we've seen who say, no, I'm sticking to my guns, and they disappear. And there's like a very slim percentage that make it through that and still successful, still holding on to their values. How do you do this? What do you think about what he said about using your creativity for God?
I think you can. To me, it's different ways of what you talk about when you come to creativity. You have people that think your gifts is strictly for the church. You're supposed to edify and equip the church. Then you have some people that says, my gifts is to reach out into the world and use my gifts so that people can come to the church. So, I mean, at the end of the day, his logic behind Jasmine Sullivan was kind of like a little shaky, because I'm like, if God is calling her to sing gospel music, then she needs to sing gospel. But if she isn't, if she was trying to use that to get on, then he's right, in my opinion. Like, if you know how some people use certain stepping stones. We have people in Christian rap that use that as a stepping stone to just try to get on and get dipped. But in my mind, I'm like, if that's what God is leading her to do and she's being disobedient, then I think that's something totally different.
Here's my question. This is the big question.
Got you.
Why can't you make that album and it just be soaked with the gospel? Like, why does it have to sound like gospel to be a Christian album? Why can't it sound good or however you want it to sound, but the whole theme of it, the whole meaning behind your lyrics, the whole drive, the whole force, the whole meaning for your existence is godly. Still just talk about
that's my problem, bro. That's my problem with it. I just get tired of hearing people saying, well, I can reach more people if I don't put Christian on it, or if I don't put Jesus on it. I'm like, man, who are you trusting to push your product? Are you trusting the man or the record label, whoever, to push your stuff out here more? They can do more for you than represent God. God can't put your stuff in places that a man can't put it in. Like, I don't know. I just think people have a secular dream a lot of the time, and they just try to use Christianity as a footstool to get to their little secular dream. And they use, and especially like for Christian rap, it's so many regular rappers. You can come to Christian rap and put a song out today, and it'll be on playlists and stuff. Like, it's easier to make it in this space. So people will use that as a stepping stone to want to live their little secular dream. But I'm like, I'm like, bro, what is this whole thing about proclaiming the name of Jesus holding me back? Like, do people read the Bible? Like, you deny me in front of people, I'm going to deny you in front of my Father. Like, that's how I look at it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I feel like I can't say that I really worship Jesus, if I can't say that I'm a Christian to go to a certain place, do I need to go there?
But, James, what if God is putting on your heart? Like, I use P.J. Morton as an example. If God is putting on his heart to write love songs between in relationship that is not degrading women, that's not outside, it's basically the song of why do they call it the Song of Songs now instead of Song of Solomon? What if it's like that, where it's about love? Is that wrong?
Why do you got to come out and separate yourself from the church to do
that? Because using P.J. Morton again, he got backlash because his father is a big time Bishop Morton.
So he said he's supposed to be a pastor. He's not supposed to be a pastor just because his dad's a pastor. He's supposed to be a pastor if God called him to that position. Nowhere in scripture do it say your daddy was a pastor, you're going to be a pastor. You know what I'm saying?
Like, nepotism, Lord.
You got to be called to that position. So first and foremost, he wasn't supposed to be one just because his dad's
supposed
to be one.
Yeah, he wasn't. But I think for him, I know I can't speak for PJ, but I think the reason why he wrote the book was like to free people to think that just because I'm raised in church doesn't mean that I have to. If God is calling me to do something that doesn't look like your traditional gospel artist, then I shouldn't get backlash for it. Because I've heard he had some dope records. I mean, not all of it, but some of his records that he had with the ones that he was kind of talking about, I could remember just coming to mind that were like good, like you would just play like a family barbecue. You know what I'm saying?
Issue when people feel like they got to separate from Christianity. We following Christ, right?
Yeah.
When Christ came on the scene and he was going against the order of the day, everything he said was totally contrary in their mind to what he was doing. Well, did he change what he was doing or how he was doing it because a few people felt a certain kind of way about it because he knew he was following the will of the Father? If I know I'm following the will of the Father, I'm not going to worry about the backlash. I'm not going to worry about the criticism because I know I'm following God. You could be a pastor in the pulpit following God. Folks going to criticize your preaching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could be doing anything for God. Mm-hmm. People, like, the Bible even say, be careful. If everybody agreed with you, be careful. You know what I'm saying? Everybody shouldn't agree with you.
Yeah, I get that.
So it's like, I don't know. I just don't get it.
If God is telling Plain James, right,
mm-hmm.
don't go on that Christian tour. I'm going to open the door for you to go on the Trappist Life tour. You're going to be the opening act for Jeezy, Tip, and all of them. I'm going to give you that opportunity. And this is what I'm going to do. When you go on stage, your songs are going to be so powerful that it's going to shift the atmosphere in that thing to the point that people don't even want to hear Jeezy or T.I. But you're so worried about, man, what these folks going to think about.
I'm not going to, because this is the thing about it. If you're coming to me like the way I I operate, when you come to me, you go into, okay, James is a Christian rapper. Mm-hmm. Like, so it ain't no confusion. So what I'm doing is I'm coming asking a Christian rapper to open up my show. I know what his songs are about. I don't have no songs that are just like iffy. Like, it gonna, I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. No, but no, that's God. What I'm saying. But that's why God has given you that opportunity
right.
to do that.
But that's my point.
Because he wants you in that place. Because somebody who's going there is like a dope boy that's going back and forth like, should I become a Christian? Should I stay in the street?
Do you know what I want to tell you, people? Like, this is the thing. I probably done been in most hoods in this country, being honest with you, doing Christian rap music.
Yeah.
And you know what I hear? They say, man, you know, even if they don't believe what I believe, they say, you know what? I respect you because you stand on what you believe. What we don't respect is somebody who come in here who we know they own that, but they try to act like they're one of us. They don't respect that. Like, they don't, like. People in the streets respect real. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't, all that Trojan, I'm going to come in with the Trojan horse, act like we not doing this. Like, nah, like, what do you stand on?
Yeah.
So when these Hebrew Israelites at the barber store and they calling me a lost so-and-so, this and that, they standing on that. In broad daylight, in the street, they're not trying to hide who they are. Folks who in sin, I trying to
only. No, but you're not hiding it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The opportunity I'm talking about is they know, tipping them know, this dude is legit.
Okay, y'all talking about different one than what Kevin's talking about. The PJ Morton example is, I want to make love songs. Everybody else is telling you, you got to make gospel, hymn, choir songs. Then what's your answer?
My thing is, you can make love songs from, so when you make those love songs, are the songs you make, are they going to be completely unbiblical?
That's what I'm trying to say. You should, if you're saying you're making a song for your wife.
Yeah.
I made a song for my wife.
Yeah.
If you listen to the lyrics, it's still godly stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that. And I think that's what PJ Morton was trying to say. Why are y'all getting on me for wanting to do that? I'm doing, I don't know. I'm guessing. Like
he should be able to do
that. Are the songs still biblical, the PJ Morton songs?
The songs
are they pretending to be Chris Brown songs?
You know? No, well, I think he ended up signing with Young Money at one time, but prior to that,
is Maroon 5 making biblical? I don't know. Are they making Christian songs? No. So let's go back to my point. Folks out here want to live a secular dream.
Yeah.
Bruh grew up in church his whole life, probably got tired of going to church. I want to use my gift to go out here and do something else. And he did that. Like,
Hold on, real quick. Why we sound goofy? We got to understand that. People in our comments be saying stuff.
Say it. Because I think this is a real thing that people have to wrestle through.
Yeah.
If I'm a Christian and I'm an artist.
Yeah.
And I have a song I wrote for my wife called Alfie. If somebody came to me and said, you shouldn't be writing a love song for your wife. You should be writing hardcore Christian rap, Jesus bars every single song.
It ain't gotta be that.
But that's what I'm saying. So if my reaction to that is, why do I have to do that? I wanted to make a love song for my wife that's God honoring, all that kind of stuff. My reaction to that is, y'all could kick rocks. I'm making a song. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But what I'm not going to do is make a song that sounds like T.I., Jay-Z, such and such, where you can't tell the difference between me and
Jay-Z.
That's
like lustful. Yeah.
That, to me, is where you're going past what God called you to do so you could fit into a world and get accolades from
that world. So I'm saying God could have called him to make that kind of, and nothing wrong with that. My problem is, why do folks, if it's not sin involved, if it's not going against nothing biblical, why do I feel like I got to separate from the church to do that?
Yeah.
Why do I got to join Maroon 5 to do that? I could be a Christian artist and rap about love. I can rap about the streets. I can rap around whatever.
His solo is different than Maroon 5.
I'm just saying.
He's part of the band in Maroon 5.
I don't know much about him, but I think the underlying thing reminds me of two scriptures. So the first one, Galatians 1:10, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. So if God is leading you to do a thing, it doesn't matter if people don't agree with you. And I think there is a place for us to have romantic music that's not full of lust and demons and everything else that they're doing. I think that that's fine. And if God gave you the green light, baby, do that. Like, why are you worried about all the hair fire coming against you? Because even in like Luke 7, and like Jesus has a spill that's from 31 all the way to 35, and it ends with, but the wisdom is justified of all our children. Like, you can't please people. Y'all mad because Jesus drank. Wait, no. Yeah, that's a part of that spill. Whatever. Well, he said, John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. And you said he's a devil. The Son of Man come eating and drinking. And you said, behold, he's a gluttonous man and a wine bibber. and a friend of Republicans and centers. You cannot please everybody.
Thanks.
But here's where it does matter, because I think everybody thinks they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Right? Kev thinks he's doing the right thing. PJ Morton thinks he's doing the right thing. Kanye West thinks he's doing the right thing. But all of them are not. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if everybody just says, I'm going to do whatever I feel is right, where's the
scripture got to be the final authority.
Right.
Whether you're an entertainer, whether you got a podcast, you're a comedian, you're a trash man, whatever you are, like, scripture got to be the final authority. Like, I mean, I think people want to make excuses to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly. So, like, but the reason I'm asking is, if all those people think they're doing what you're saying, I'm reading the scripture, it says it's cool, I'm doing what, I'm not going to let nobody stop me, where's the ability for somebody with wisdom to come and say, I know you think this is okay. Mm-hmm. It's not. See, that's where it breaks. That's right. Where that breaks, where it's not just whatever you want to do. I feel like I should make a love song, so I'm going to just do whatever I want. No, there should be people that have authority in your life, wisdom, that could tell you, you read that wrong. Like, you're wrong about that.
And what happens is, somebody like PJ Morton, right? He'll go out here, he'll make that love album. And let's say somebody comes to the faith. Just because you out there out, say you just want to be associated with, I ain't saying he said, but say if he said he didn't want to be associated with this, he making these songs, somebody come to the faith, you could be out of position and still operate in your calling. Mm-hmm. Think about Peter. When Jesus died, Peter was, he supposed to be a leader. Peter was going back to the boat to go fishing. What the other dudes do? They followed Peter back to the boat. Even in the fact that he was giving up, they still fought. He was still a leader, even when he was giving up.
Yeah.
Just because you're not in a position on me, you still not going to operate in your calling. Yeah. Like, the gifts of God come without repentance. So you still going to have that gift regardless. So you can be over here living your little secular dream, and folks could be coming to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Like, people can come off your music and stuff. But that don't mean you're still in the right position,
so
though.
So this is my only point.
That could
point.
Be the grace of God just operating in spite of you.
This is my only point to Kev. Because I remember asking him this. Even though you feel like it may be okay what you're doing, and you may have the heart to say, I'm doing what I'm doing for God. You can see I'm still doing this. I'm still doing that. There should be people that you trust around you that don't just love everything you do, that can say, but what about this? You know what I'm saying? Like, if everything you think is okay, if when you read the Bible, you just get some sort of message and you just run with it, and nobody's able to say, wait, what now? What did you read? If nobody could hold you accountable, I think then there's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There should be somebody that could say, yeah, but.
Somebody that can see through everything you're saying and saying, you're hurt. You're being rebellious right now. And that can see through your heart, that knows your character. So accountability partners are definitely super important, and that's who you should be listening to, not the people in your comments that are fussing at you. Yeah. But the part that made me clutch my pearls from what he was saying was, like, he feel like if she made a gospel album, that would be a waste of her talent. I just was
so
shocked.
He took it back a little bit. He took half of it back.
Like, I'm glad he did, but that just brings me to a question of what is the purpose of human beings? Like, what's our purpose?
Yeah.
To glorify God.
Yeah.
And God brought, that's our purpose, is to glorify God. And he gave us gifts that we use to glorify him. So it is not a waste when she is supposed to be using a gift that God gave her to glorify him.
But to me, it is a waste if her heart is not it.
It's more of a waste for her to be successful with her album and not be it be soaked with the reason I'm making this is to glorify God. If the reason becomes I'm making this to be successful and you actually get what you wanted, to me that's a waste.
No, but I think God looks at our hearts. So if I'm making a gospel album but I really don't live it, if I really I'm singing something just for the money.
Of course.
Then to me, that's a waste.
But the bigger waste to me is you going, if your original intention was to glorify God, if you go around that and become everything you want it to be, you get the great album. It's a dope album. Everybody loves it. Top of the charts. But it isn't driven and motivated. Every single word on that album is not driven and motivated towards bringing God glory. That's the bigger
waste.
Yeah,
you know, you're missing the mark.
That's the bigger waste, and that's the only reason I'm saying I love the wrestle here. I think there are people who are genuinely that love God, that want to bring Him glory, that want to have influence, that are wrestling with this question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love to wrestle, but let's wrestle together and figure it out together. Yeah. I think there's some people who get frustrated with the wrestle, and then they just say, "Forget y'all. I'm just doing whatever I want to do." And they have no more accountability. Yeah. Right. Whatever they do is God told me, and nobody could say anything else to them. That to me is a dangerous place to be when you do have that much influence.
I want to say this. I know people in the comments. Somebody in the comments said that we don't know what we're talking about because we haven't heard his album, PJ Morton's album. I just want you to know that. I mean, I've heard it before. I heard some like his earlier projects when he was more indie and stuff like that. We're not against anybody that's saying that they feel like God is leading them to do something different out of the norm of Christian. Because everybody in here are talented people, and I'm sure if somebody did something out of the Christian box, if God is calling you then God is calling you to do that.
Yeah.
I think what we're saying is, like, if He's calling you to do more Christian-based things, but you don't want to do that, then you're in disobedience.
Right.
Then you're going against what God is calling you, what He's really calling you to
and
do.
And I'm just saying, you can do whatever, if it's biblical. Like, I ain't saying you got to just, like I said, you ain't got to verbatim quote scripture every song. Like, you can be creative. You can talk about marriage. You can talk about life. Talk about fatherhood. Yeah. Talk about...
Right.
I think my issue is just when people feel like, well, I'm not going to be a Christian artist because I want to do this and do that. Like, you can still be a Christian artist and do those things. Like, I feel like people feel like you got to separate.
Don't call it out.
Why
are you wasting your time saying it? Like, do it.
Like, I don't believe it. Like, we don't have normal lives. Like, we can't relate to love and stuff. Like,
it's a common human experience.
All right. We're going to stay on Breakfast Club so y'all can still go off, but let's switch people. Brandon T. Jackson, the actor. Did I say his name right?
Prince, yes,
And he was also on The Breakfast Club. So let's switch to this clip because we have a theme going. I reorganized the show to make sure we could stay on the same theme for long. So watch this.
What brought you back to Hollywood? Hey, what brought you back to Hollywood?
You know what? It's so funny because when you go out and do a spiritual journey, you learn and you aggregate people and you realize that God gives you a gift, right? And when He gives you a gift, you're not using it, you can go crazy. You can get depressed. I think my gift is something that was given to a purpose that's bigger than just acting. So I saw the whole thing trying to aggregate our people together, to come together economically. I'm not the first one to try, and I won't say fail, but, you know, art is what He gave me, I believe, to be a light. So
how did the industry change? Meaning, for better art,
here's my issue, the whole Illuminati cut off my gas. I'm not saying it's not, you know.
Do you have to sell your soul to be in Hollywood?
That's a good question. I don't feel like it's like that. Spiritually, I feel like whatever you would do to get where you got to go, you got to find what energy is pushing you. My energy was always the most high. My dad told me this too. He's like, you got my blood, my prayers, your grandmother's prayers, your grandfather's prayers running through your veins. So when you do these other things, your ancestors are calling for you not to do. So it won't work. I've been to many dark places in life, and I just, like, it don't work for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I literally made a promise to God when I was a kid. I said, if you make me famous, this is what I would do for you. Like, so if you say, is there a energy pool? I do believe people make dark covenants and different things. I do think people make light covenants. In this case, my covenant was a light. I was always given to God as a child, you know, with the anointed oil. You can't get away from that.
All right. So he talked about a couple things, Eric. Some of the same kind of topic we've just been talking about, but he also introduced the whole thing about Illuminati and, you know, is there dark forces in the industry? Do you sell your soul? What do you think about? Well, this is actually a good one for you, Shania, since you're an actress in the Hollywood world. What do you think about what he said? Is he being honest? Is he right? What do you think?
I don't even remember what he said.
you got stuck on the ancestors. I saw that.
Yeah, the mixing be throwing me.
Yeah.
Okay. I honestly don't remember. I'm gonna tap y'all in and then come back to me.
Okay. What do you think?
I think he has some terrible theology that he's been taught. I heard a mixture of ancestors and this and this. So it's like we tapping into light energy and stuff. It sounded like some new age stuff. It sounded like the Most High. I don't know if he was a Hebrew Israelite at one point.
Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah.
He said it later in the.
Yeah. So I think it's just a mixture of bad theology. So when you're standing on bad theology, I think you're liable to make some decisions sometimes that you think God is cool with, but you just really have an incorrect understanding on what's going on. And once again, like, I don't want people to feel like I don't think God can use people in certain spaces. But if you have to deny who you are, if I have to say I don't believe in Jesus in order to be in this position, I'm not going to be in that position. I ain't got to be rambunctious and just go around like, yeah, I'm a Christian. If you ain't a Christian, you burn the hell. You ain't got to be ignorant. You feel what I'm saying? But if a question is asked, like, what's my stance of who I believe in, I'm going to tell you who I believe in. And if my belief is going to prohibit me from going to a certain level of my career, that I just not going to go. That's what I say. So with him, he just got some bad theology. So we don't really know where he at for real.
So I think based on what I saw, I had to cut a lot of it because it was long. Based on what I saw, he grew up in church. Then he said for 7 years he was in a cult. And based on the comments, it seems like the cult he was talking about was Hebrew Israelites. So it was like... I just guaranteed 100 comments. So he said he got out of that.
Yeah.
So there's a possibility he's mixing some of the, in his brain, he kind of mixed the
blood of your ancestors. Yeah. Now that sounds like Ephi. Yeah.
What, so was he saying my ancestors, was he saying you, because, okay,
I think he's
I got
saying their prayers are keeping him safe. I think that was his point.
Okay.
That's what I think his point was.
Cause
I'm just reading them straight.
Because if that's the case, then is he saying something wrong? If he's saying, like, my grandmother was praying for me as my great-grandmother?
As long as he doesn't think she's doing it now.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. But how dad said, he said your grandma prayers, your everybody prayers, that's in your bloodline.
That you've been anointed and all that. And it's like, well.
There's some spooky language in it. But I think at the heart of it, he just meant, their prayers are keeping him.
Yeah.
I think that's what he means.
Yeah.
But it's just some weird language around it.
That's what I'm thinking too.
It's like, okay. I see what you're saying.
Okay. Now I did, it was like ding, ding, ding when he did say, there's some people making covenants. Thank you. Because people try to say all day, oh, we're not making deals with the devil. We're not doing covenants. Out of the mouth, he's saying some people making covenants with the kingdom of darkness. Period. But, one thing that I was thinking about is when our relationship with God shouldn't be transactional. And I think just the basis of if you make me famous, then God, I'm going to do this.
It's not
even God's desire for you to be famous, bro. Jesus ain't even want to be famous. He was like, when he healed people, don't tell nobody.
Yeah.
Just go back, don't tell nobody. Like,
I almost cut that section out, but I was like, ooh, that was interesting. Like you said, he made a deal with God. If you make me famous, then I'll...
That's but a lot of people do that.
A lot of people say that. But it goes back to
what Plain said.
Right, but
is that God of the Bible, though? Because what is that?
It's this, I think everybody, if they're honest, more people than will even nod their head with me right now. A lot of people want to be famous. Just point blank, period.
That's what I'm going to say.
God or not, they just want to be famous.
Nobody goes into the studio and makes a song and say, I don't want nobody to hear this. You know what I'm saying?
Or do a movie.
Yeah, I don't want to. Don't watch this movie. We just spent weeks and weeks and weeks filming. Don't watch this movie.
Learning the script.
I get it. Like, it's so, it's
that
like,
is funny.
But I like with Christ, he preached in front of some of the biggest crowds you can think of. But he was obeying the will of the Father, and by him obeying God, he wasn't looking like, man, I'm trying to get 5,000 people to fill the seats.
Amen.
Man, I'm trying to have the biggest fish fry ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, that wasn't his goal. He was just like, man, I'm just trying to do the will of my Father. And when you have pure intentions and a pure heart, I believe that's when God will give you the platform.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But when you are somebody who is seeking that for yourself, to boost yourself, like, a lot of folks are having a hard time getting that because God knows it will destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
You are already focused on yourself.
Amen.
Why would I give you more of something that's going to destroy you anyway? Now, so some of these folks in Hollywood who really ain't walking with God for real, like, God ain't the only one out here giving opportunities. You know what I'm saying? So the enemy will give you an opportunity because he know it'll cause you sometime to stray further away from God.
Mm-hmm.
The more fame, the more money, the more opportunity, the less likely they are to really tap in with God, because guess what? They probably think they already believe in God and already in his will.
Mm-hmm.
So now they deceive.
So let me ask you a question. Does the enemy or the demonic hear your prayers?
Well, save that. Because we're going somewhere.
All right, so this is what I was leading up to. Okay, so shout out to Chris Broussard. He invited us out to the King Movement thing in D.C. area. Our guy Damo went and got some, like, behind-the-scenes footage from it, right? So there was, I can't remember the young man's name, the actor. He's been in some stuff that you've seen before. Somebody help me out, Damo, if you're in the chat. But he was one of the speakers on stage. And we're still in this, we're still in this vein of Christians in Hollywood, Christians in entertainment. Is the entertainment world evil? Does it corrupt you as a Christian? Boom. All right, so we're going to this. So listen to what he says.
Not all of us, but the people behind them know what they're doing to you. Wow. Amen. We enter you and we hold you captive. And with that comes a tremendous responsibility. You can't just do any old vile thing because people have no idea, you guys have no idea that we've even entered you and we're holding you captive. It's almost like hypnotism. We're trained to do it. We can stop anything on a dime and captivate, pull all the attention, all the focus, and then we can give it somewhere. But we know exactly what we're doing to you. The Word of God tells us, be careful how you hear, right? Be careful how you see. Be very careful. There's a lot going on in Hollywood, and it's being done on purpose. The actors and people out front, they may not have, they may be limited in their understanding, but the people behind them fully understand what they wrote, why they wrote it, and where it's going. It's programming. We know it, and we know we're programming you to buy the Levi's, to buy the Nikes, to buy the lifestyle, to buy whatever it is. Guard your eyes, your heart, and your mind, your money, your mind, and your heart. Guard it. I'm serious. Don't let people...
All right, so that's some exclusive footage from my guy, Damo. The actor was McKelty Williams? Williamson? McKelty Williamson? While y'all are talking, I'll find out some stuff he's been in, because it was kind of far away, so you could probably couldn't see his face. But I'll tell you what he was in. So ask your question again.
I was saying, do the demonic hear your prayers? Like, do the devil or the demons, that those moderating spirits, do they hear your prayers to get that success? Because you have so many people, so many rappers, so many actors, so many entertainers say, man, I prayed for this, man. I prayed, God, that you could help me in this area, and it happened. You know what I mean? And I think the reason why I'm asking this question is because so many Christians and so many people, young people in the church go, man, I saw something, and Glorilla says she prayed for this, and it happened. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So God must be with her, or such and such prayed for this, and they answered. So
yeah, I don't. This may be controversial for some. I have yet to see a scripture on monitoring spirits, so I don't necessarily. I know demons. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what a monitoring spirit is. I just know what demons are, and I know the enemy is the prince of the power of the air. So say for Glorilla, for instance, they said, but she prayed for this. Like, if the enemy is the prince of the power there, he sees what's going on. He sees her working toward trying to do this. Whether he heard the prayers or not, I'm not going to make something up. I don't think they hear the prayers. I don't know for sure. But what I feel like happens is they see the intentions of your heart. They see where you're working, what you're working toward. If I'm trying to be a secular rapper, all my actions, all my everything I'm doing, all my ambitions is going to be toward being a secular rapper. If the enemy sees that, like, then he can move and tempt and do his deceitful stuff off of that. Mm-hmm. But he can't, I don't think he can read my mind and see what and hear what I'm praying to the Lord. Like, I don't think he had that ability. I think whatever your actions are doing, he see the things you're tempted by, the things you respond to, the things that you like and you don't like. That's why it's temptation. He knows what you like. You wouldn't be tempting if you didn't like it. So I think he just kind of responds off of those things. I don't think he has the ability to go inside of my head and see what, hear what I'm praying to the Lord. Sometimes.
No, I'm talking about out open prayers, like
open
the prayers,
prayers.
Yeah.
Like when you're saying out loud prayers.
Yeah, a monitoring spirit is really just a demon that's assigned to you just to watch you. Okay. So it's a demon, but they just assigned to watch you. Sometimes they be in your family, bloodline and stuff like that, because somebody did a sin, or that lust perversion spirit be watching, monitoring. Mm. They just keep tabs on you. And then sometimes witches will assign a demon to you to keep tabs on you and stuff like that.
Where is this? You don't have to find it now, because I always hear about this. I'm like, I don't remember that.
I don't know.
Real quick, though, the actor's name is McKelty Williamson. He's from Forrest Gump. He was Bubba Gump.
I'm Bubba brother.
Bubba Gump Shrimp. Man, okay.
The dude from ATL?
Yeah,
Uncle from ATL.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was in Fences.
I almost said something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm about
to say. He was in Fences. Yeah, so he's big time. So, yeah. So
like somebody, that's what you're going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's basically saying Hollywood is designed and programmed.
I didn't know he was a Christian.
Yeah, me neither. So designed and programmed to lead you astray. So I want to make sure that question is on top of all.
I guess it is. I mean, at the end of the day, Satan is a master marketer. He knows how to market what you like. He knows how to market. He knows if you are a broken person and you like that certain music that could continue to keep you broken, he know how to market you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's a manipulator at creativity. I don't think he's a creative because I feel like God is the ultimate creator, but I think he's a manipulator of what God has created on this earth. So I think that about him. So he knows your weaknesses. He knows mm-hmm. what you're like he said earlier, you're tempted by. So he knows everything. So he knows if you are a young man that's very lustful. He's like, well, okay, you don't want to go to the strip club bed. I can slide these IG models past your way. I can go in your mentions. I can do all this other stuff. So at the end of the day, yes, the enemy knows how to market to you. He's a master marketer. He knows how to tempt you. You know what I mean? That's his job. He's a tempter. He's a liar. So he knows how to do those things. To get you off track from God, you know what I mean? So
you believe the producers and actors are intentionally trying to mislead?
I think an actor needs a director and a director needs a muse. And I think that muse is normally a demonic entity. And I'm saying this not just right now. I'm saying this seeing documentaries about back in the day of people in the 40s and the 50s. In when movies first started, where they were getting scripts, mm-hmm. they were doing what's the name writing, ghostwriting, mm-hmm. not ghostwriting like rapping, but like ghostwriting where they letting the spirit speak to them and they just being used automatic handwriting, I think they call it. But like I've seen people talk about this stuff from back in the day, and I'm like, if the enemy was using that formula back in the day, I'm sure he's still using that today.
You see Halle Berry, and I think she played with Dorothy Dandridge or something like that. Mm-hmm. And she said she summoned the spirit of Dorothy Dandridge, and the dress started flying around the room and stuff. It's satanic. You know what I'm saying? Like satanic spirit. I don't know if everybody doing that, but I know some people have said that. Even what's the dude be like, hold on, man. What's his name?
We talked about that.
Terrence Howell.
Terrence Howell.
He said he seen this stuff. Come on, man.
When he said he go in the mirror, he say some few things,
Lord.
Let some spirit capture him, and then he go out and play the role.
Yeah.
So. Right.
The only problem is he keep playing that same. I'm
joking. Yeah. That spirit won't leave.
Him and Samuel got the same spirit every movie.
Lord have mercy. Typecast for real. But I would say.
Ain't you Lucius and him at the same time? Lucius and DJ?
But I have learned, like, especially like in writing and in my Hollywood writing program that I was in, everything is intentional. When it comes to writing, everything is on purpose. Even the books, down to the commas, the periods, the ellipses, everything is intentional on purpose. And then the process, writing process that they take us through, that if you want to create a good script, it's meticulous. You're literally brainstorming, thinking of everything, all 50 scenes, every word being spoken.
Even the stuff you don't see, the stage directions.
Even the stuff lighting, you don't see, the lighting, the clothes that they're wearing, or they're wearing green because he's greedy or he's jealous. Like everything is meticulously done on purpose. Okay. And then so Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So that's one. And then two, like all of those are different entities. So principalities, powers in high places, rulers of darkness, like all of those are different entities. And there's different places. Even I gotta research.
Gotta find this because everybody's like, where is that? So we need to do a topic on this monitor because I keep hearing it.
I've never seen it.
So
I mean, I think she made it.
We'll do a whole topic on it one day. So you'll have time.
Because different things are definitely referenced. It'd be like, I missed that there. That's crazy. Yeah. But
I know demons watch us naturally. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I know we. I just never heard like titles and different names. I never saw.
Yeah, they definitely watch us. But to say what you, to piggyback on what you were saying, yes, they definitely watch us and they're able to learn our movements and stuff like that, because Satan is not omniscient. He's not everywhere. Yeah. Right. How does he know everything? He has agents of darkness that are helping him and feeding him the information.
So they're monitoring your activity.
Exactly.
So that's why they call him. Okay.
Because they're monitoring your activity. But they can't, like you said, an interesting point is that they can't read your mind. They can insert thoughts, but they can't, well, suggest thoughts. Right. But they can't read your mind. So anything to keep in mind, anything that you say out loud is free game or whatever. So, like, if you're praying out loud, yeah, it's free game. They can hear you. They listen and whatever. They can't hear your prayers. But if you're praying in your mind or if you're praying in tongues, that's why it's good for that praying in tongues. Not only is it edifying you, but it's like an encrypted prayer language that they can't get through.
This is why we need to do a separate topic on this, because how much of this was deduced and how much of this is verbatim?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Some of it sounds deduced, like somebody, like, thinks this is what it
kind
is,
of formulated.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I would love to. We need to focus on this and like really go through it.
Okay.
All right. So let's do this. I'm actually gonna move something because we've been kind of touching on these people for a while. So give me a second. We've been well. Listen
I'm
to
sorry.
This. Listen to this. You're gonna have to use that again in a second. But I want to go ahead to this because we've been kind of hinting at Hebrew Israelites, and
yeah.
I'm sure they're already here. So I want to know what y'all think about what he said. Since we're talking about demons and all this kind of stuff now, what do y'all think about this?
Satan was never kicked out of heaven.
Yay. So it's a Hebrew Israelite that says that Satan was never kicked out. Everybody's searching it up right now.
No, Revelation 12.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Right. 12, 7 through 10, 2. 18.
Luke 10, 18.
It's all over the place.
That say it.
Why don't y'all read that point?
Luke 10, 18. Hold on, I'm finna pull that mug up.
Hold up.
I was watching this. I'm like, what is he talking about? I know what he's talking about.
The Hebrew Israelites, man, they bank on people not knowing the Bible.
Yeah. Right.
So he's referring to Job when Satan the accuser is in the court setting. And God is saying, I've gone to and fro. Who's like Job? He just loves me. He's faithful. And he's basically saying, like, since Satan was there accusing, basically saying, the only reason he loves you is because, you know, everything's good with him.
Yeah,
if you took that away, he's not going to love you anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So his point is, how could he have been kicked out of heaven if he's there in Job?
He already got kicked
out.
Right,
he was already kicked out. How you think he got on earth?
Sometimes I... Go ahead.
So, like, to give reference real quick, you see these pictures a lot of times when you see, like, the arm wrestling, which is Satan and Jesus, they arm wrestling and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, the picture they just show, like, first and foremost, it ain't no fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got God, you got the devil. Like, they created him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't no fight. He's not on the same wavelength. He don't have as much power as they have. Like, he's already defeated. So keep that in mind when you listen to this scripture in Luke 10, 18. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. If you see something fall like lightning, you ain't just falling on your own. So it wasn't no tussle. He got threw out. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you fall like lightning, he was like, man, I see Jay fall to the ground like lightning. More time, I probably got punched. Oh, I got threw out.
The angel,
you
probably
balanced.
The angel threw Satan out like Jazz in the Fresh Prince.
Yeah. Look, so he fell from heaven. That means he had to be in heaven. Then he fell down, up, down, like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. So once again, the power that he has, he's giving people authority over that. So he's already defeated. He's not an equal foe. It's not a wrestling match. Yeah. They're not arm wrestling.
Yeah.
He's not superior. He's beneath. He got threw out of heaven. He fell like lightning. He's mad now. So now he's going to come at God's people to try to prevent them from going to heaven. That's mm-hmm. what's going on. So when he asked that question, and when he asked that question in scripture, God is omniscient, so he knows everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he also omniscient. He knows thousands of years later we're going to be reading the scriptures. So he had to ask these questions and do these things so we can read and understand the scripture here, for I am omniscient. So he had to ask these questions, not because he didn't know, because he know we're going to be reading this and we need to get an understanding of what's going on. He knew what everything that's going on. Like right now while we're talking, it's an ocean is going just far enough not to flood the city. It's heartbeats all around the world. People are being born right now. All kinds of things are happening. God is orchestrating all of that. He wasn't oblivious to where the devil was. He wasn't asking that out of ignorance. He asking that because people need to know what's going on when they read scriptures, because he knew the word was already here.
So why would he lie like this? That's what I was thinking.
Well,
I'm like, why would you lie? Because if you read any further than what he read,
you would know that what he said isn't true, right?
Well,
so what's the point?
Well, here's
what's
the
point of making it seem like Satan is like one of God's like
homies?
Yeah, like what's the end goal there, you think, from this man?
I think he wants people to understand that. And I've seen this recently. And I'm like, why do these dudes keep coming down my timeline? I think the goal is this, to trip up Christians who do not read the Bible, trip up Christians who are not strong in faith, trip up Christians who do not, especially black Christians, who do not, black Christian men who maybe just go to church, they don't read the Bible, they don't do nothing, and then you come across somebody who sounds, because they always sound good. I ain't going to front.
They're confident.
They're confident. They're confident in the word. They're confident.
Come here, black man. Come here, black
so,
man.
So I think
you don't sound good to me, bro.
Yeah, because you know the word.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
why.
The word,
never.
Because I think the thing is, and even if somebody come in debate, like, they know their stuff. You know what I mean? It's almost like how Malcolm X was back in the day when he would come, when church would be letting out. If you ever saw X, church would let out, and he'd come up to them women coming out of church like, Queen, you like this. And then, and like, he would like know, he'd know the word of God, so he'd know how to trip you up. It's basically like Satan almost, you know what I mean? Just being very deceptive. But all I'm saying is this. I feel like they're looking for people who are tired of the, black people who are tired of the church, black people who are fed up with the church, black people who was once at the church, but now they got church hurt. So they're looking, and they come down the timeline. Like, you could be scrolling and something catch your eye, and you'd be like, are they saying the truth? Especially if you're open to spirituality or you're open to your religious background, you know what I mean? So, and they sound confident. So if you sound confident, people believe when you sound confident versus when you don't sound confident.
Amen. And they being spoon-fed, to be honest, because I came across a guy who left that thing, and he was saying like...
that thing?
Yeah, because they love to act like, oh, I know everything. You know, you're spoon fed what you're taught. You're literally taught. You don't interpret anything for yourself. You read the interpretations that they give you of the scripture. So they like to show that you free thinkers. Okay.
Yeah, my heart kind of goes out to them to a certain degree because, like Jeremiah was saying, a lot of that is bred out of anger and frustration and hurt. And so... And plus, black people being marginalized and mistreated in this country for so long and around the world, really, for so long, they're just looking like, man, they're just trying to find a way that God is on our side for real. Because a lot of people say, black people say, man, like, if God loves us, why is all these things happening to us? Why are we going through so much? You know what I'm saying? So the first thing they want to do is combat that with saying, you know, we're God's chosen people, and they want to just claim an identity. They want to give us an identity because... For a large degree, that has been stripped away from black people. Where you look at our Caucasian brothers and sisters, you can say, okay, they're from Sweden, or they're from Finland, or they're from Russia. Black folk, you just say, oh, they just African. You know what I'm saying?
From Detroit.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or
right.
I'm from Birmingham. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't really have that. So I think a desire for us to want to have identity. I know some genuine ones, man. They're wrong, but they're genuine. A desire for us to want to have an identity and a purpose and the battle against Christianity, which has been whitewashed. We can't agree. It has been whitewashed to a large degree. I believe the Bible is a multicultural book. I'm not here to stand on what race whoever was, this and that, but I know them Bible characters and look the way a lot of time when you Google their name, the way they come up looking, they don't look like that for real.
Yeah.
As Middle Eastern men and Northern African men. So people just want to combat that because they're hurting, they're tired, they're frustrated, but this is not the way to go. You don't go from one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
Like, in spite of how you've been treated, in spite of what's going on, hard as it may be sometimes, you still got to love these people. And you still got to try to find the truth of Scripture without trying to put yourself in a superior position, because if you're trying to put yourself in a superior position, you're missing the whole point of Scripture. The whole point of Scripture is to put Christ in a superior position. It's not your skin color. It's not your skin tone. It's not your people. Yeah. It's not your tribe. It's not none of that. It's about Jesus. And when Jesus is not paramount, you're going the wrong direction.
Yeah, here's the problem. And whenever I've talked to people, you guys may know about their belief in this. To me, there's a confusion over who the people of the children of Abraham are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's this odd confusion I see with people that confuse what's spiritual and what's physical, flesh and blood versus spirit. And they believe somehow that your actual literal blood and body matter more to God than who you are on the inside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The children of God are the children of the promise are the people who believe in Jesus.
Amen.
They're not
literal Jews.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That he solved that mystery when he was on earth.
Yeah.
The children of Abraham, the ones that were going to receive the promise that you'll be many nations and you'll be with me, are the people who believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
Not literal Jews. So whoever your confusion of over who Jews are is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
If it's black people, pale white people, olive color people, it means absolutely nothing because your physical inheritance means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Your bloodline means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
It's who you believe in, who you put your trust in,
and Gentiles,
makes you a child of God.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So this whole Hebrew Israelite thing is nonsense from the beginning because you're fighting over who the real Jews are. You're wrong already. The real Jews, the real people of God, are people who believe in the Son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And peep this. Let's say you are the real Jews. Let's just give you what you want. Let's just say you are the real Jews. Will you have more of a responsibility to live by the Bible? Will you have more? So the Bible said, love your enemy.
Facts.
Like, do it say banish them to hell? Nah. Yeah. Like, so if you are God's true people, you have more of a responsibility to follow the scriptures. When you look in the scripture, how he approached the Jews, as opposed to how you might approach a Gentile, it was kind of different. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was more of an expectation for God's chosen people to behave. But you see God's chosen people throughout the whole Old Testament disobeying God, coming back,
God. And maybe that's why they believe that, because they, I don't know every faction, because different sects have different beliefs, but some don't believe in Jesus. Because when you start talking to the New Testament, I've seen videos when people talk the New Testament, they go into the New Testament, but they go right back to the Old Testament.
There's thousands of different Israelites. Yeah. There's some that will call themselves Christians, guys like this who think they're not. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's some
do it off of identity. So this is what I do. And I think we talked about this one time on the show. What I do know identity-wise, when slaves were brought over from West Africa, at first, the original name, if you look it up, they were called Hebos, which derived from Hebrew. And then they went from Hebos to Negroes, then they called them niggas. You know what I'm saying? So that's where it went to.
Jeez,
so,
James, this is a G-rated show.
I mean, that's why a lot of them, that's why they kind of get that, where they get that from. But even with that being said, when the slave trade happened, so many people came from the continent, it's kind of hard for you to go back and say, okay, these were the folks I came from right here. This is my tribe right over here. You know, it's hard for you to do that. So you're really fighting a losing battle, like Sean was saying, trying to do all that stuff anyway. The more important thing is that you've been engrafted into the family of Christ.
Right.
Like, however you want to slice it, you're in the family of Christ now if you're a believer. And that solidifies you. That's what happens. You're a family. Like, if you look at the story of the prodigal son, why it was so amazing in that culture was what was supposed to happen to him, being a blood son, he was supposed to be banished from the family. They had a ritual they would do where they go to the property line, they throw a clay pot down and say, you're no longer part of the family. But the amazing part about it, in that culture, if you were an adopted child, nothing they can do put you outside the family. An adopted child could never be banished from the family for whatever reason. So with us being children of adoption, that's pretty much pointing toward us. Like, that's your security of knowing that you're engrafted into the family, that you were children of adoption. You cannot lose your salvation. So focus more on that you've been brought into the family and you can't be kicked out of it, rather than you sit here saying, like, hey, because the one that was a part of the family, like, he could have banished them.
But on the same point, make sure that you're actually a child of God. Because in the same graft analogy said, if you think that you've been added to my family, you are an added in branch. You'll be the first to get thrown into the fire. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So this attitude of, oh, just because this and this means I'm a Christian, that's not what it means. You have to be born again. You have to be truly spirit-filled. You have to really have turned your life over to him. There's a lot of people that went up on to the stage who said the prayer who are not really Christians. You have not been made new. You are not a new creature.
Mm-hmm.
You are a cultural Christian. You've done the right thing, but you have not allowed God to change your life. Mm-hmm. So the point is, make sure that you are really one of those. That's what makes you a child. Not people who have the right color or the right blood or the right parents or the right whatever. That means absolutely nothing. And I've said this to people, and they've been like, how could you say it? It means nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. So, whatever.
But I think it's funny, though, like, because I think recently, didn't they get, like, being thrown in as a hate group? I think recently.
That old boy is definitely pushing for that.
That was, what's his name, Malone, the dude. the apologist to be online.
What's his name?
Spoke
Malone. Yeah, I know. Yeah, Malone. Vocab Malone. Yeah. But I I seen something with the documentary Grizzly was going to show. Was like they've been hired up to a hate group because how their thoughts are
hateful.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get to this because again we're still on the same theme. We're slightly moving it, but y'all know Ali Stuckley. Stucky. Is it Stucky? Oh, thank you. Why don't you grab your mic? Help me out with this. Ali Stucky says something about the black church.
All different kinds of churches, all different kinds of places.
Sure.
This seems to be especially prevalent in majority black churches.
Oh.
There's a lot of prosperity preaching, but a lot of, as you're talking, I'm like, I've heard that a lot. You are divine. You are a queen.
Yeah.
You are, you know, a goddess, something special. And
yes. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if you've ever talked about the roots of that or why that is.
It's interesting you bring that up. That is a controversial question, especially today's political climate. But I guarantee there's a lot of people watching that are like, Ali's not wrong. You know, there's something there. And I was reading Kate Bowler's book. Do you know who that is? Yeah. And there's a whole section on this that she talks about with the black church and the prosperity gospel and all these other theologies that kind of entered into the black church. I mean, Carlton Pearson is one of them. Carlton Pearson was a Pentecostal Word of Faith preacher, Reverend Ike. And both of them were very off when it came to a lot of their teachings. That's like an origin there in that regard. I haven't looked too much into it. But you're not wrong.
Yeah.
I have friends. I have a friend, in fact, we've talked many times. She's black and she talks about this a lot on her. She's in ministry as well on her channel. And that's one thing I asked her. I was like, so what's up with this? You know, like how do they square this circle? How do they make it so that, you know, maybe in some of their churches that aren't black have a different view on these things, but for the black church is very different. Tell me about that.
Yeah.
You know, so I wouldn't say that you're wrong in that.
A lot of the prosperity preachers that I see, like we played a clip the other day and it was like kind of a funny clip, but it was this she was this older white lady. I had never heard of her or seen her before, but she's using a food analogy. She was like, when you need oil in order to fry all of these things, but
I saw that clip.
And what oil do you use to fry bacon? Yeah, you don't need it. And it was like, you are your own anointing oil to give yourself power. So it's this older white lady, but almost the entire congregation was black. I don't know if people know who like Real Talk Kim is. She's got a million Instagram followers. Oh, yeah. She talks like that very prosperity preacher. Same thing. And she's just this like, you know, 40 something white lady. Almost her entire congregation, it seems like, is black.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I just think that is interesting. And I wonder,
what's the correlation there?
Like, I wonder why specifically in majority black churches that seems to be very prevalent. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either. That'd be an interesting thing to look into.
First of all, watch your mouth. I will say,
crossed my mind.
Is she wrong though?
To a certain degree.
Is she wrong?
To a certain degree.
I would say, sis, next time you want to talk about the black church, make sure you have someone from the black church there.
Representation.
We need representation there.
Well, we talk about them.
No, I'm acting because, I mean, truth is truth. If she's telling the truth.
Yeah, that's my question. Is she wrong?
This
is
my thing. We do have a lot of that in our churches. But to say it's more prevalent in the black church, because being real, Peter Popoff went in the black church. Joseph Osteen, the point of the biggest pastor in the world, Robert Tilton.
You got to get on the mic.
Robert Tilton won in the black church. Kenneth Copeland ain't in the black church. So, you know what I'm saying? I think if you're looking for it, you'll see it in the black. I think it's in all the churches.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of them are prosperity because all of them, to a certain degree, when you got bad teaching going on, all of them try to make themselves superior to some degree. So, that's my thing. And I don't want to be a Hebrew Israelite and come on and start defending my skin color. You know what I'm saying? But it's prevalent in the black church, but it's also prevalent in other churches. I'll say that as well. So I think just to highlight how it's happening in the black church, but not speak on how it's happening in church as a whole, without a black person being present?
I think her question is, why does it work on us so well?
Because we've been marginalized, we've been taken advantage of, we've been abused and mistreated. So the first thing that sounds like we finally finna get something, people gonna buy into it. Is it right? Nah, but that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And you look at the people who are there, most of the people who are there are in a certain tax bracket. You know what I'm saying? There's very few people who are affluent in there. Most of the people are in a position where they don't have much.
Right.
And so they're just looking for God to come through in a miracle. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need something. If I'm this and I'm that, all right, God, where is this? Where is that? Like, they're hoping for something. Mm-hmm. Because if I tell them the truth, like, hey, you may not, in this life, you may not obtain riches and obtain material possessions, but God don't love you no less. Yeah. And the suffering of this life is not worthy to be compared to the glory to be revealed. That message is not going to pack out your church.
Right.
But it's going to pack out the church when I say, yeah, you the head, not the tail. You, but I can use them things that are in scripture out of context to make you feel like it's about you. Like, I can show you the story of David and Goliath and make you think you David, when actually you were the scared Israelite people in the background looking for somebody to come save you. Mm-hmm. If anything, David pointed to Jesus. Any hero in the Bible you see points to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Anybody scared, anybody sinning, anybody losing, that's us. You know what I'm saying? So, but that's not going
to... Dang.
That's
man,
not
we
gonna,
about to get the 100K.
But that's not going to fill the seat. So that's why you got people who've been mistreated and dragged through the mud. So when they hear something good, they're going to gravitate toward it.
So, Ciara, what you got? So, Ciara's over in the corner producing today. You can't see her, but what you got, Ciara?
No, I just wanted to add context that this was just like a two-minute clip out of an hour-long video where they actually do talk about other churches, not just the black church. This was,
I know.
Black church. I'm declaring for James and other people who are listening that this was not a let's all get on the black church.
Oh,
they
of
talked
course.
About
yeah,
Joel
yeah.
Osteen. They talked about several other prosperity pastors.
We should have showed them clips then.
Right.
No. So here's the question. I know that. I was just joking. But I do have that question though, because it is prevalent in our community, and it is because of what Plain said. It's like you dealing with people who in majority feel like they don't have what they need. Somebody coming and saying this is how you get what you need or want is going to sound more attractive than somebody who doesn't. So that's probably the answer to her question. But so now what? Okay,
I'm gonna say
what
this.
Do you do with that?
I'll say this real quick. I'm kind of going back, and maybe I touch your question. I think we just recently, like, and it has something to do with a little bit of Christian hip hop, because I think of the Lecrae's of the world and everything putting in the reform kind of theology into it, where you start hearing God is enough, you know, just like I don't need nothing else but the Lord kind of vibe. That only happened like a couple years ago. Prior to that, it was like you said, I'm the head, not the tail. I'm this, I'm not that. And I think it's because, you know, Allie could speak good because she's probably in a nice house somewhere.
Yeah, that's the point. So you don't, it doesn't affect you because you already have it.
Yeah. And I think for the average black American, like you said, at times we come from low income. Sometimes we, you know, we're working our way up. And to hear a message of hope to saying you can have a better life if you have Jesus sometimes can mix in with prosperity gospel, can mix in with other stuff. So when somebody like a Jackie Hill or Pastor Mason or, you know, Pastor Mitchell say, no, God is enough.
Yeah.
That's all you need is God. People are like, what? That's all I need is God. Okay. But if Jake's come around or somebody else comes around and says, hey, your best and brightest days is here, or this, or that.
Man, get like me. Loose. Yeah. Get like me.
Yeah, or get like, or like, you know, using the scripture of money out of content. Which one are you going to choose? Because you're in a bad situation. Even, and sometimes some people may say your decision making, but sometimes you just may be born into poverty.
Yeah, it's real.
You know what I'm saying? So how do you, is God enough in my poverty? For us, of course. But for the average black person, they're like, God is enough. I need, God, where are you?
This is a classic, okay, you may not understand it because of your situation, so let me explain it to you. So it's not to bash her. How could you understand that? Now we're off her. This is a problem. What do we do about it? Because it is attractive for preachers to get up and say you can be rich, you can have everything you want if you follow God, if you tithe, you're gonna get rich. If you do this, you're gonna get rich. If you give me what I want, you're gonna get rich. Like, people could take advantage of it. What is the solution? How do you get somebody that needs it to say,
even if I don't have, even if I have two coins, I'm going to give you one guy because that's how much you mean to me, even if I don't get what I want.
I'm going to ask, how long have you been going to this church listening to this message? Okay. Has your financial situation changed?
Some of them have. Some of them have.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would venture to say a large majority of them have. It's probably going to be a few.
Because there are some that aren't necessarily prosperity preachers, but they focus on bettering yourself and business and development
and tools to do so.
If you're teaching me financial stewardship, teaching me financial stewardship and how to properly handle my finances, and you know what I'm saying, that's different than, go ahead and give me $1,000. Put $1,000 in the circle. Whoever put $1,000.
Lock the doors. Don't let them out.
Yeah.
Let them out until they give me $5,000.
No questions.
Yeah, that stuff. Are you buying miracle spring water, or buying prayer handkerchiefs and all that kind of stuff? Like, that stuff
Lord
there. That, like, that's what they're. So, like, teaching me financial literacy, that's different.
Yeah.
If you said, okay, you using X amount of dollars eating out every day, maybe you should dial that back. Do this. Open an IRA, because most black people, let's be honest, we weren't taught financial literacy. Like,
yeah, that's real.
Most of us, our families live.
Most of us got a bad credit.
Yeah, most of our family live check to check. You know what I'm saying? Bad credit. Just be honest. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all probably had bills in your name when you were a kid before you even knew what a bill was. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the background we come from. So we don't really have financial literacy like that. So teaching us that, and we can learn from that and grow, that's cool. But if we just being ignorant, then that's
real quick, I want to hear what Shania said, but I just want to add, the reason this is happening is because, again, the situation we're in, there's some black people who rise above it by using those black people. They're using the example of the Benny Hins and the Copelands and all them. They're following. They're like, whoa, that works? Let me try it on my people. Yeah. And then it works on my people. So I get rich. I get my jet. So we're copying y'all, first of all.
Facts.
We're copying y'all.
Facts.
We're using it on people that we're taking advantage of them because we saw you do it. So let's try it. It works. And then it's just a pyramid scheme from then on.
Man, I saw a dude, man. You know, I don't be caring, bro. I'm going to say it. I saw Mike Todd give a spiel where he was talking about money or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then they showed the white pastor give the same exact spiel, verbatim. You know what I'm saying? Money's like, he followed what the man said, like, to the T for money.
You know,
like, a perfect way to get money. I'm not saying, I don't know nobody how I ain't saying they all about money. I'm just saying in general. They got a blueprint. They got a script. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they said the same exact thing to get money. But he learned it from the white man. I ain't saying it. Once again.
He learned from the white man.
That ain't what I'm saying.
Okay, so to answer your question, I would say definitely share our testimonies. Because a lot of people I don't think we really understand how much we don't believe the word. And how much unbelief that we really have present with us. Like, we could know scriptures all day, but how deep is it in you? How much do you understand it? How much do you really believe that God is your provider? I would say discipleship, life on life. So let's, instead of just going to church and go home, let's invite people in our homes, because the beauty of community is edification. So we need to be edifying each other and not just what church you go to. Now, we believers, we need more time where we're having these conversations, because this is an answer to that too, where we're having conversations, we're sharing these things, we're living life on life with each other, we're edifying each other as well.
Yeah,
I think another thing too is, I think the number one thing for a lot of stuff, and I think I saw a clip of Pastor Mitchell said this that I thought was very, he said the problem with a lot of people getting duped is because they don't read the word. If you don't read the Bible, if you're just listening to a clip, if you're a Christian who just go to a church, they may give you an outline, they may give you something or whatever, and you just do that and you don't have you need to read your Bible every day. You know what I'm saying? If you need help with it, they have different translations, they have different things, but you got to get in that word, and because you can't get duped. You can get duped, but if you can't, you can have a strong foundation with the Holy Spirit and reading the Bible, and you can get like, but you won't get like turned away if you really in the word. Like, if you really in it, and
you should be doing this, being like,
that's
a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
we got to stop telling people to read the Bible and start saying study the Bible.
Study the Bible,
because the Bible says study to show yourself to be.
Yeah,
like, it don't say just read to show yourself approved. Like, study. I think people, that's a problem. Like, some of these people, they're reading the Bible, just for face value, mm-hmm. and interpret it however they want to interpret
that's,
it.
That's the problem.
They're eisegeting instead of exegeting. They're just
in case, because I see some of the and yes, Crispy, we can see your comment. I'm looking at them. But I do hear people who generally don't know how to do that. So I want to just give some tips. And one thing that I think will help, just practically, if you're like, how do I study the Bible versus just read the Bible?
Yeah.
And one thing me and my wife did early on, make an actual Google file, right? And then pick a book of the Bible that you want to read, and then write the verse down in one cell. And then in another cell, next column over, write down just literal facts from the verse. Don't try to interpret it. Yeah. Don't try to be deep about it, nothing like that. Literally, what are the facts? Based on this verse, here are things that are true, point blank true, all right? Then next over, okay, what is God saying? You know what I'm saying? These are facts. What is God saying? Then another column, what was going on at that time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because everybody just assumes God, everything is just straight for me with my iPhone and my laptop. It was written to people specifically, and it can apply to you, but you have to know how to apply it to you. Mm-hmm. So go do research on what was going on, what do these words mean to them, not to you, and figure out what the context is, and then pray about what he's trying to say to you from all of that knowledge. That's how you could beginning to study the Bible. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Instead of just reading it. Because a lot of people, they make opinions facts, right? Mm-hmm. They think the Bible is saying this to them, so now they go around telling people the Bible says such and such. Mm-hmm. It didn't say that.
Yeah.
Go to your facts column. What did it actually say verbatim? Not just with your interpretation.
That's right.
Verbatim. And only call those things facts. Yeah. Everything else, you gotta work on that. You gotta go back to God. Is this what you really mean? Okay, over here you said this. Over here. You gotta work through that stuff, but only say facts are facts. You see what I'm saying?
I think also is a scripture in Proverbs that talks about being rich and being poor, and then God just like having enough. And he was talking about how like, don't make me too rich that I forget about you. Don't make me too poor. Just give me enough. So that basically talks about stewardship, being a good steward over your finances, being a good steward over what God has given you, being a good steward over your home, everything being a good steward over, so that God can see that you're trustworthy with the stuff he's blessed you with.
Amen.
So I think that's the thing that we have to look at. If you're a good steward of stuff, then you have God's heart, because God is God doesn't want you to be extremely. He doesn't mind you having money, but he doesn't want money to have you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the purpose about financial stability as a Christian.
Yeah, we're out of time, guys. See you guys, Miss B, Michelle's in the chat. Because I've been looking, guys. Jay Santee, I see you. Gracious, I see you. Joseph, I see you. Damo's in the chat. Zion is in the chat. Zakia. So thank you guys for watching with us, man. If you have not subscribed to the channel, go subscribe right now. Just click the button. Ring the bell so you can see every video we put out. We usually put out a video every day of the week. The Sundays we take off usually. But we usually have something scheduled to go live with clips from the show. So make sure when you see those, you share those, you pass them around. Join our Patreon. We're about to do a Line for Line on the Line for Line channel and the Patreon channel. Go to patreon.com/TrekStarsUniverse. Join us there. Shout out to Jerry who's out. Shout out to Ryan who's out.
Man.
Thank you for CR for filling in for Jerry in the corner over there. All the people on our team that are online, thank you guys for everything you guys do. Damo, I had to text Damo earlier to get that clip from Chris Broussard's event. So everybody is constantly working throughout the week, so show them love. We can't do any of this stuff without them. Pray for Ryan and everything that's going on with him. But I just love you guys, and thank you. We're almost there, guys. We set a goal about a year and a couple months ago to get to 100,000 subscribers. We're at 94,400 right now, so tell your friends, we're almost there. People on our team want us to do some events.
5,600 people? We need 5,600 people?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
People on our team want us to do some like event for it. We'll think about that. I'm not sure if we're going to pull that off. But because we got jobs. But we really appreciate you guys. A lot of new faces. Some of you guys who've been us with for years and years. We've been doing this literally for 20 years now. And we appreciate everybody who's been along the journey. No matter when you jumped on, thank you guys for everything. We are about to go. Thank you guys for being here with us. Love you guys. You in the field with the Track Stars. Head over to Line for Line channel or Patreon. We'll be there in a little while. Let's go.